Good morning, everyone. It's a beautiful autumn day here in Trabuco Canyon in the latter part of September. I thought it would be good for us today to consider this subject, the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. Our basic text will be John chapter 14. So if you have your Bible handy, get it out and we will study this very, very vital and important subject, the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. Now let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray according to the message of this song, that the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, will be present with us as we study your word. Illuminate us, teach us, apply it to our lives, this great truth about the encouraging ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that we call upon you. Amen. Now I think we should begin by turning to the text. First of all, in John 14, this is the statement by our Lord Jesus Christ about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 15. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." Now again in John 15 and verse 26, John 15, 26. "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." Now again in John 16, verse 13, this is about the Holy Spirit. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." This then is the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 14, 15, and 16 about the Holy Spirit. The encouraging ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, I think it's important that I just give some background about the Holy Spirit and about differing beliefs and convictions about his coming and his presence. In the book of Acts, we have the record of the events on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost was a feast of the Jews 50 days after the Passover. So Jewish people from different areas would come and gather at Jerusalem, and they spoke in different dialects. On that day, the disciples were together in the upper room in one accord. And when they came out of the room, they began to speak to the crowds gathered, and they spoke in the languages of the various dialects. And the people were amazed and were wondering what was happened, and said, "We hear these men speak in our own tongue." And that gave rise for Peter to preach the first Christian sermon and to declare to these unbelieving Jews that Jesus was taken, murdered, and crucified. Now, the message of Peter brought great conviction, so that the scripture says they were cut to the heart. That is, there was a deep, deep, deep conviction of sin. And on that day, the Lord saved 3,000 unbelieving Jews. That was the purpose of that event. Now, the day of Pentecost will never be repeated. Neither will the day of the crucifixion, the day of the resurrection, or the day of the ascension. It is an event in history to alert unbelieving Jews of the crucifixion of Christ and for the salvation of 3,000 of them. Pentecost will never be repeated. Now, there are groups which have arisen in the early 1900s that call themselves Pentecostal and Charismatic in an attempt to revive the events of Pentecost. In the book of Acts, we have the record of other people being saved, some of them being given this gift of languages. But a greater problem exists, because these groups, known as Pentecostal and Charismatic, believe that after salvation, after a period when a Christian can reach a spiritual plateau of getting rid of all sin and confessing and coming before God and praying and asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, there is an experience of receiving the filling of the Holy Spirit and certain miraculous gifts. This is called the baptism of the Spirit, an experience subsequent to salvation. Now, my scriptural conviction is this: that at the moment of regeneration, that person is filled with the Holy Spirit and receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is being placed into the body of Christ and into Christ and Christ in us. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit occurring at the moment of regeneration. Now, however, I and others also firmly, strongly believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit and pray for that in our lives. So we have this message by our Lord Jesus Christ in John 16 saying, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." Now, other translations will read, "I will give you another comforter. I will give you another counselor." The Greek word is paraclete, and most often is used as comforter. And our Lord said, "I will give you another comforter." That is, another of the same kind, not different. The Holy Spirit is the same as Christ because he is divine. He is God. And Jesus is leaving physically, but will return personally in the person of the Holy Spirit to be our comforter. Now I want to approach this by asking the question, how does the Holy Spirit comfort us? That is, Christians, believers. This is a message for believers. The Holy Spirit does not work in the unbeliever the way he works in us who believe. So, point number one, the Holy Spirit encourages us by being our comforter with his presence. Jesus said, he dwells with you and will be in you. Two different pronouns. To be with someone and in someone are different matters. Jesus said, he is the gift of the Father, and he is another comforter. He abides with you forever, but he now dwells in you. And we can make a biblical case to say that God the Father dwells in us, and Christ the Son dwells in us. That is New Covenant. During the Old Covenant, or the Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit did not dwell within people. He was for people, and he was ministered to people. But now, here is a mystery unfolding in the New Covenant. The Holy Spirit dwells within. Paul said it this way, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And another aspect of that mystery is that the Gentiles are included in the people of faith. So how does the Holy Spirit comfort us? With his presence. His presence is sufficient. And he comes to us with unconditional commitment. And he comforts us just by being with us. And we understand that at a human level. You think of a child with the mother. And when that child cannot see the mother and does not sense the presence of the mother, that child gets into a state of panic. Children need the presence of the parents. The same thing is true of sheep. When the sheep cannot see the shepherd and do not sense the presence of the shepherd, they get into a state of panic and nervousness. Now we have the New Covenant advantage of the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, dwelling in us. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, what? Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit and that he dwells within you? Now we need to know that. We need to review that. We need to believe that. We need to realize that, because we go through difficult times. And we do need comfort. We human beings, men, women, fathers, mothers, we need comfort. Probably daily. And the way that God has provided this comfort for us is to be with us. And knowing that God is with us is sufficient. His presence is adequate to comfort our hearts. So how does the Holy Spirit encourage us? By being our comforter with his presence. Secondly, the Holy Spirit encourages us by teaching us truth. He is called the Spirit of Truth, and he teaches us the truth. And he is the only one who can teach truth. He is the Spirit of Truth, and he is the author of truth by being the author of the Bible. You know, truth is so vital and so important. Think of reasons why people go to church. They go to church for the music. They go to church to be entertained. They go to church to make them feel good. They go to church hoping for some psychological gimmick that will be helpful. The most important thing about a church is truth. I asked that question one day to some friends. What is the most important thing about a church? And they said, unity. And I said, no, the most important thing is truth. Unity must be based on truth. Fellowship must be based on truth. Prayer gatherings must be based on truth. Worship must be based on truth. Belief and faith must be based on truth. What is the opposite of truth? A lie. If we do not have the teacher of truth, we are in trouble. The Holy Spirit comforts us by teaching us the truth of Scripture. When we come to the Bible, we don't come believing that our own reasoning power or our own logic will reveal truth to us. We come in dependence upon the Holy Spirit to enlighten, to illuminate, and unfold the truth of that passage to our hearts. And it is with that attitude today that we study in John 14, 15, and 16 about the truth of the Holy Spirit. He encourages us by truth. Secondly, this passage reveals to us that he comforts us by revealing Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said, he will take what is mine and show it to you. He will testify of me. So as the Holy Spirit is in the believer, he reveals the believer. He reveals Christ to the believer. And then the believer testifies to the world of Christ. And we can't give testimony of Christ to the world until the Holy Spirit reveals Christ in our heart. And so he comforts us by teaching us and revealing to us about Christ. And he gives us assurance. How does the Holy Spirit encourage us? By his own presence in us forever. The Holy Spirit does not leave the believer. Now, there are words in the New Testament about grieving the Holy Spirit and quenching the Holy Spirit. And this reveals to us the Holy Spirit is a person. He responds and He has feeling. And there are times when we could, quote, disappoint him. But he does not leave us. The Holy Spirit does not leave us. He is our assurance. He comforts us with his presence. He comforts us by teaching truth. He comforts us by revealing Christ to us. Now in the next place, he comforts us by restraining sin. Now, this is found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. I'll give you time to turn there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. The Holy Spirit comforts us by restraining sin. And here is what the verse reads. Galatians 5, 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, that is, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So there is conflict. The Christian has conflict with sin. And the description of the unbeliever is that he is under the dominion of sin. And now the believer is not under the dominion of sin, but there's a problem with it. There is a conflict. And the wording could be this in this Galatians 5:17, for the flesh wars against the Spirit. And the Spirit wars against the flesh. There is warfare with sin. How are we comforted? Because the Holy Spirit wars for us. And we should not approach life thinking that we are the overcomers, or that we are the conquerors, or that we can, by our own struggle and by our own effort, overcome sin. We cannot. The Holy Spirit in us restrains sin. And just think of what our life would be if his presence was not in us, restraining us, holding us, keeping us, influencing us, impacting our lives. Well, we would be so fallen in sin if we were doing it on our own. Now, if we choose the life of self-effort, self-reliance, and struggle, we can continue that way all our life, and we will die struggling. We will never overcome, we'll never be conqueror. The Holy Spirit in us is conqueror, and he is active and powerful. This is the power of the Holy Spirit in us restraining sin. Praise the Lord and thank God every moment that he is keeping us, holding us, restraining us. And we are convicted of sin now, but just think of what it would be if this were not true. Thank God for Galatians 5:17. The truth is that the Holy Spirit is conducting warfare against sin for us. What a comfort. What a great thing to know and realize and believe in. And to live this way, in dependence upon him, consulting him, talking to him, talking this over with the Holy Spirit. Lord, you know the problem I'm having and what I face, and I need you. I need your presence. I need your power. And I confess to you, I am unable. I do not have the ability. And therefore, I depend upon you. You are my God. You are my strength. You are my comforter, my helper. And I call upon you. I rest in you. And I trust in you. We have a comforter. We have an encourager. And he encourages us and comforts us by his presence, by teaching us the truth, by revealing Christ to us, and by restraining our sin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your provision for us. That all the Lord Jesus is not here physically. He is here spiritually in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Let your energy and your power work in our lives just now as we surrender to you in thanksgiving as our comforter. In Jesus' name, amen.